जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरम चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ट्राई एज मच टू से इट इन यूनिसन, सम आर फास्ट सम आर स्लो। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नॉट बैड एट ऑल। ओके, टेक्स्ट 16 ऑफ चैप्टर 1 कैंटो 8। तमीह मानं निरहंकृतं बुधं निराशिषं पूर्णमनन्यचोदितं निरन्नं शिक्षन्तं निजवर्त्मसंस्थितं प्रभुं प्रपद्ये किल धर्मभावनम्। तमीह मानं निरहंकृतं बुधं निराशिषं पूर्णमनन्यचोदितं निरन्न शिक्षन्तं निजवर्त्मसंस्थितं प्रभुं प्रपद्येऽखिल धर्मभावनम्। तमीह मानं निरहंकृतं बुधं निराशिषं पूर्णमनन्यचोदितं निरन्न शिक्षन्तं निजवर्त्मसंस्थितं प्रभुं प्रपद्येऽखिल धर्मभावनम्। Would you like to try, Mataji? Tamiha manam nirahankritam buddham nirashisham purnam ananya choditam nirnan sikshantam nijavartma samsthitam प्रभुं प्रपद्ये अखिल धर्म भावनम्। थैंक यू। तम अंटू द पर्सनैलिटी, अंटू द सेम सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड। ईह मानं who is acting for our benefit. Nirahankritam, who is without entanglement or desire for gain. Buddham, who is completely in knowledge. Nirashisham, without desires to enjoy the fruits of his activities. Purnam, who is full and therefore has no need to fulfill desires. Ananya, by others. Choditam, induced or inspired. Nirun, of all human society. All of human society. Shikshyantam, to teach the real path of life. Nijavartma, his own personal way of life. Samsthitam, to establish without deviation. Prabhum, unto the personality, unto the Supreme Lord. Prapadye, I request everyone to surrender. Akhila Dharma Bhavanam, who is the master of all religious principles or the occupational duties for a human being. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna works just like an ordinary human being. Yet, he does not desire to enjoy the fruits of work. He is full in knowledge, free from material desires and diversions, and completely independent. As the supreme teacher of human society, he teaches his own way of activities, and thus he inaugurates the real path of religion. I request everyone to follow him. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadavahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I was going to read a couple of sentences in the purport, explain, and then read like that. So, but before that, I have questions. So, this will be an interactive Bhagavatam class, which means that you have to interact with me, unfortunately. Can anyone explain this phrase? Desires to enjoy the fruits of his activities. So you understand the phrase. Here is talking about Krishna, who has no desire to enjoy the fruit of his activities. So let's ask, what does desiring fruit of one's activities mean? And then there's the next level of difficulty or question. You know, in standardized testing, if you answer a question, they give you the question to the next level of difficulty. If you answer that, then they give you a question that's even more difficult. And if you can't answer that, then they come back to the level that you can answer. And that's how they grade standardized tests. So this is very unstandardized, but definitely a test. So what does it mean, desiring the fruits of one's activities? Doesn't matter. You don't have to feel that you have to say the right, whatever you know. Yes, Jitendra. Selfishness. Explain, please.
Well, you have a desire to enjoy separately from Krishna.
Yeah, but what is the phrase desire to enjoy the fruit of one's activities? What does it mean? Explain the mechanics of it.
You want the results of what you do.
Okay. You want the results of what you do. Why can't I get the results of what someone else does?
Oh, that's the next
one. No, go ahead. You answer.
It means, do we want to be the enjoyer?
It means to be the enjoyer. But then why does it have to be fruits of one's activity? Can I just enjoy without any activity? Yeah, go ahead.
It means you're performing those activities in order to enjoy something as a result of them.
You're performing those activities in order to enjoy what? Okay, you're warmer. Warmer, definitely in the right direction. Oh, Mataji, go ahead. Well, hold on, your voice needs amplification.
To take credit for one's actions or achievements, like you just said, that, you know, if anybody can answer this, so, or to explain this word, so if I take the credit for, like, my explanation, I take the credit for my mental abilities, but I forget that that is given by Krishna. That is, that's a God gift from Krishna, anybody's mental or physical or any abilities. And then so we perform an action and we take the credit for that action.
Why perform any activity? You have something, Kevin?
I was going to say maybe to be like self-motivated instead of selfless, like doing it for the self or something.
Oh, that's too far away. We don't even know what the self is. But any random person, why does one have to perform any activity? Let's go to the more fundamental thing. Why does anyone have to perform any activity? Scholar?
You can't, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that you cannot be at any moment without doing any activity.
Okay. Nahi jatu tishtati akarma krat. You cannot remain even a moment without doing anything. Okay. So I have to do something. Why do people do things to enjoy the fruit? Why do any activity at all? Suppose I say I don't want to do any. Okay, the only activity I'll do is breathing, lying down on the floor. That's also activity. I'm performing that activity. But why perform the activity of cooking, going somewhere, earning money, something? Why do these things? So there's something about the law of this world. What is it? Can you turn on the mic? You're being recorded on the Ethernet for the rest of eternity.
Arjuna is asking the same question.
Karuna Daso Uvacha. Please, now say.
Arjuna is asking the same question to Krishna in chapter 3, that what impels us to do these things. So Krishna is saying that by impression of the past desire, you are forced to work according to nature. So he has acquired the same nature to work. So he's working the same.
But why?
Because of previous impressions.
Where did the previous impressions also come? Yeah, desire. Sure, that's a correct answer. Desire. But what is the what makes desire and action connected? So let's look at the framework, because here is speaking of a very important principle. And if these foundational principles are clear, then everything else, you know, if you have a house, recently you're looking for a house, house looks really nice, it had everything that we wanted, but when we did an inspection, the foundation was in question. And the foundation was questionable. And so we decided not to buy the house or proceed further, because if the foundation is weak, then it doesn't matter what you build on top that looks beautiful, it's not sustainable. Right? So Prabhupada, make sure that our foundations are clear, our foundational knowledge is clear. So first of all, we are conscious living entities, correct? Conscious means we are aware. It also means something else. In addition to being aware, we want something. Conscious means desire. Okay? Has to be, otherwise you can't just be conscious without desire. Prabhupada said, a yogi wants to become desireless. It's not a state that's attainable. If that was the case, then the rock is a better yogi, because the rock doesn't have any desires. Desire is a feature of consciousness. It's there. Now, whether they're spiritual desires or material desires is a different topic altogether. But desire, cognition, consciousness involves awareness and desire. Now, the word desire within our Krishna consciousness framework generally feels something like bad. Oh, I have desires. No, we have to have desires. Because desire is the need or the impression or the force that takes us from this position to the next position. Because desire will foster movement. So now we're talking of material desires, not spiritual desires at all. Okay. In the material realm, we have this sense of disconnection from Krishna. Fair enough? That disconnection of Krishna, it creates a void in us. Or the innate nature to desire is misdirected towards something else. So Jitendra Prabhu said selfishness. So a conditioned person's soul's desires are from going from this point to that point, whatever that is. Now, because he's conditioned by a material body, he has desires that are for the body. Hunger, thirst, sleep, sex, defending, etc. All these are desires that impel action. Every desire impels an action. Correct? We ask Jitendra Prabhu, oh, how come this was not done yet? He says, I'm doing subtle work. It means I'm thinking about it. That's his standard answer. I'm thinking subtle work. Desire. Yes, right. So desire leads to action. Okay. And that action is because there is desire, and the desire says that whatever I have is not complete, is not enough. Or the state of wanting to become happy. If I was completely happy, completely satisfied, then I don't have a material desire to do something. Correct? If I'm completely happy, I have no desire to act and get something, go to that state. I don't have a desire to go to another level of existence because I have what I have. I don't need anything else. Correct? So, it is the sense of void that creates a desire to fill that void. Now, in this world, what I want there does not come on its own accord. I have to move to that place. Therefore, I have to perform some activity that takes me from this state to that state to fulfill the desire of the shortage of something. Fair enough? Making sense? Yeah. Okay, I should shut up. Go ahead. Interactive class.
It's happiness. When you're happy, you don't desire anything. But Bhagavad Gita says that even in the stage of happiness, there is a desire.
I'm just building the blocks right now. Even in the state of happiness, there is desire. That the kinds of desires change. When I'm self-satisfied, Atma Rama, then my desires are of a different nature. My desire is to hear about Krishna, my relationship with Krishna. I may not perform material activities because matter creates a sense of void. Spiritual topics and spiritual activities don't create sense of void. In the material realm, there is a sense of void, some deficiency. And to fill that deficiency, the only way is I have to perform some action, some activity to fill it. So I have a deficiency for money. I have to perform some activity for money to come to me. Money just doesn't walk up to me. So everything in this, why is the case? Because material energy is inert. We say, right, there's no life or no consciousness in matter. It's inert. You heard this phrase? It's inert. It's inert means on its own it doesn't move. And I'm looking for something within this inert matter to fulfill my deficiency. If it won't move, the only other option is that I have to move to it. If I'm thirsty, there's a phrase in Hindi, Pyaase ke paas kuwa nahi aati. If you're thirsty, the well, which contains pure, nice, tasty water, the well won't come to you. You have to go to the well, or the faucet, or the cooler, or whatever. You have to go. Therefore, action and fulfilling of one's desire are so intricately connected. Now, one can perform action without thought in it, without thinking what I'm doing, or one can have a conscious, deliberate path of action. But the innate deficiency that I have to survive, therefore I have to eat, I have to drink, I have to sleep, I have to defend, I have to procreate. All these innate deficiencies need action to fulfill those desires. And as soon as I perform the action, the fruit of that action is what I'm looking for. Suppose I'm hungry. I have to gather what resources Krishna has provided. Vegetables, roots, berries, whatever. Some I can eat without cooking, some I must cook. You know, I can eat arugula raw. I can't eat eggplant raw. There's nothing in it. Unless you cook it, it doesn't get taste. And according to Ayurveda, you should not eat anything raw except fruit. It must be cooked. Anyway, there's a whole, then there's the raw people, there's the vegan people, and there's not a class for, you know, what kind of food we should eat. But just the point of, in whatever action I have to perform, in the fruit of that action, the result of that action is my enjoyment. So I have to cook to enjoy the taste of what I'm going to eat. I have to create certain defense to enjoy safety. I have to sleep to enjoy whatever one enjoys from sleep. You know, feeling rejuvenated, feeling revived, restful, etc. Because it's a feeling of shortage. So here, Krishna, first let's talk about all of us. We have a desire to enjoy the fruit of our activity because there is a deficiency. And that deficiency needs to be fulfilled. Now, for this fulfillment of deficiency, there are many ways. There is the way of dharma. It's the way on which, or path on which, it is said that if you act, you get all these wonderful results. Some people don't like that path. Some people like the path of quick results, vikarma or adharma. Let's say dharma says to earn money, you have to live an honest occupation. Some people say, I'll do it the adharmic way, it's quick money here. And in finance, there is a common principle we talk about. High risk gives you high dividends. Some people like to invest in stocks that are stable, they're called value stocks. Takes time, 30 years. And they invest in established organizations that have stood for, you know, many, many years, and they have good business practices, blah, blah. So the dividend is small, but it is assured over long term. Some people don't like that. They want quick results. So they invest in what's called growth stocks. So companies go like that, you make a big money out of it. You make big money from it. And some people invest in highly risky bonds and stocks because you know these people may survive, may not survive. They have an idea, something, you make a quick buck. It's highly risky, which means if you intend to make big money, you also have the risk of losing everything. And some people like that risk. It's a quick make. It's not advised, but some people do like that. So there is dharma and there is adharma or vikarma activities. Both are for fulfilling the sense of void or desire. So without action, one cannot work with the inert material energy to get what they're looking for. And because it's in inert material energy, this cannot fulfill anything we're looking for. It cannot. It can temporarily give us some sense of, I found something. It only for some time and then it changes. So we see that the great sages, the self-realized persons, Srila Prabhupada, and those persons who are very spiritually advanced, their sense of deficiency does not exist. Or it has reduced and almost gone away. So they don't have to manipulate matter only for the reason of enjoying the result of that activity. Clear? They work with matter because it is Krishna's energy, and this is a way in which they are interacting in their relationship with Krishna. It looks very similar. They're cooking, they're eating, they're working, they're doing this and doing that. It's this, but they're very, very quite different because what's inside, the consciousness, is very different. It's not from a sense of deficiency. This is what it means. You cannot sit for a moment even without acting. You have to do something because the desires of deficiency are constant. Because Krishna uses the example, nahi jatu tishthati, you cannot even sit for a moment, he said, without working. Because sitting for a moment is an action that, I don't have to do anything, I'll just sit quietly. A person who has raging desires cannot sit quietly. Because it's a waste of time. Mind is restless. The sense of deficiency is very great. Now for us, we're sitting in Bhagavatam class, is because that sense of deficiency is not so strong. It may come, you know, if we keep on speaking till 10 o'clock, then there's hunger. It's like, alright, this nice class, we heard about activity, but when will this guy shut up? You know? Or whatever, I have to get something. So we at least can make some space where we can sit. Krishna says, nahi jatu tishtati. You can't even sit for a moment. So what do great sages do? Arjuna asked the question, right? Sthita pragya. Sthita, the pragya, their consciousness is fixed. So how does he walk? How does he talk? How does he sit down? What is his language? And Krishna describes that whatever they perform, whatever activities they need to do, is not coming from a sense of deficiency. And when that's not there, that kind of deficiency, they can sit silently. And he uses the phrase of kurma angani sarvasha. It's like a tortoise can withdraw its limbs. He knows how he can withdraw from the world without being forced to act because that deficiency is not there. So now he is talking of Krishna. He who has no desires to enjoy the fruit of his activities. why Krishna doesn't have this desire or deficiency. Who wrote this? There is a word in the second line is Purnam. He is complete. One who is complete doesn't have, the definition of complete means no deficiencies. So his completeness is such that he has niraham kritam, niraham kritam. Niraham kritam is, he says, without entanglement or desire for gain. So his completeness has certain characteristics, niraham kritam and nirashisham. Nirashisha is without desire to enjoy the fruit of his activity. He doesn't have something to gain and doesn't have the desire to enjoy that gain either. Purnam. So he says, but then you see Krishna doing certain things. When he appears as certain personalities, he does something. Why does he do? He says, ananya choditam. He does it to inspire others. He inspires others to have the same level of consciousness. Clear? So now we'll read the purport to get that context of what Prabhupada's saying. This is the sum and substance of our Krishna consciousness movement. We are simply requesting human society to follow in the footsteps of the teacher of Bhagavad Gita. Follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita as it is, and your life will be successful. Blessings here. That is the summary of the Krishna consciousness movement. The organizer of the Krishna consciousness movement is teaching everyone how to follow Lord Ramachandra, how to follow Lord Krishna, and how to follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why he didn't say how to follow Lord Narasingadev? Correct? Why not follow Narasingadev? Or Varahadev, Narasingadev, Varaha. Okay, give him the mic. He says to follow Lord Rama, Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
When Krishna and Lord Ramachandra and Lord Chaitanya came, they also came with the purpose of being followed. And Narasimhadev came for a different purpose.
Okay. Anyone else? Scholar, go ahead, say it.
Bhagavatam
11.5.34.
Ittam Naratri Yaga Ishideva.
Ittam,
what is that rule?
Tyaktvasudharmam.
No, in Bhagavatam, that there are three reasons.
Right. Tyaktva.
So there are three reasons. He came in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement, Lord Ramchandra to be how be a moral person, and Krishna as how cannot imitate him.
First of all these three are human-like appearances of the Lord. All other forms are not necessarily human-like. Vamana is, as a Brahmin, but Narasingadev, Varaha, Matsya, Kurma, they're not human-like. So for us, in terms of what they did, cannot be relatable. Narasingadev came out of a pillar. We can't come out of a pillar. And he sat angrily on Hiranyakashipu's throne. Of course, we may show off to others anger and all that, but there's not something that we can look up to and follow in their footsteps. Their actions are not something that we can follow and live in our own lives. But as soon as it comes to Lord Ram, Krishna and
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then there is something to follow. We follow the example of Lord Rama, how he lived his life in terms of his maryada. Maryada means one who always stayed within the boundaries of dharma. Even in the most testing circumstances, he never crossed the line of dharma. We follow Krishna because he spoke the Bhagavad Gita. And we follow Lord Chaitanya because he shows us how to be a devotee. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows how to follow Lord Ram's examples, Lord Krishna's teachings in a practical way. There are many persons who try to emulate Lord Ram's lifestyle without understanding how to do it. Or they take Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada says they twist out their own meanings of it. So we need Lord Chaitanya to show us how to follow Lord Ram and Krishna properly. So he says, in this material world, we need a leader for a monarchy or good government. Lord Ramachandra, by his practical example, showed how to live for the benefit of all human society. There you go. For the benefit of others. He fought with demons like Ravana. He carried out the orders of his father and he remained the faithful husband of Mother Sita. So, for others, carrying out the orders of the superiors and being faithful. Thus, there is no comparison to Lord Ramachandra's acting as an ideal king. Indeed, people still hanker for Ram Rajya, a government conducted like that of Lord Ramachandra. Similarly, although Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, he taught his disciple and devotee Arjuna how to lead a life ending in going back home, back to Godhead. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti so Arjuna. All teachings, political, economic, social, religious, cultural and philosophical, are to be found in Bhagavad Gita. One only has to follow them strictly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead also comes as Lord Chaitanya just to play the part of a pure devotee. Thus the Lord teaches us in different ways just to make our lives successful, and Swayambhuva Manu requests us to follow him. Swayambhuva Manu is the leader of mankind and he has given a book called Manu Samhita to guide the human society. Herein, he directs us to follow the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different incarnations. These incarnations are described in Vedic literature, and Jayadev Goswami has described 10 important incarnations in summary. Keshavadhrita, Meena Sharira, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Keshavadhrita, Narahari Rupa, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Keshavadhrita, Buddha Sharira, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, etc. Swayambhuva Manu instructs us to follow the instruction of God's incarnations, especially Krishna's instructions of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Appreciating Bhakti Marga as instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thus depicted the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are things that we need to cultivate in our lives. Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga, Sikshartamekam Purusha Purana, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari, Kripambudhir Yastamaham Prapadye. So Vairagya Vidya, both are, either you say as one word, Vairagya Vidya means the knowledge of renunciation, or Vairagya Vidya as Vairagya and Vidya. And he says Nija Bhakti Yoga. He taught how to become a devotee of him. Siksha Artham, only for the purpose of teaching. Siksha Artham.
ekaha, this alone or this personality, Purusha Purana. The original personality of Godhead came only for the purpose of teaching how to become his devotee and become detached from matter. And he took the form of Sri Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya, Sharira Dhari. Sharira is body, Dhari is to put on or carry. He carried on or he carried this body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or he took on the form of Lord Chaitanya. Here, per translation. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. In this age of Kali, people cannot follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore the Lord himself takes the part of Sri Krishna Chaitanya to teach personally how to become Krishna conscious. He asks everyone to follow him and to become a guru to deliver the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. Yare dekha tare kaha Krishna upadesha amar agyar guru hana tara e desha. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna and as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. The coherent purpose of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya is to teach human society how to be happy by following the instructions of the Supreme Lord. So that sense of deficiency for which one has to act, because within acting that deficiency is seemingly fulfilled and then it's enjoyable, is a wrong or futile method. We are by nature enjoyers. There's no argument about it. We are enjoyers. What we have to learn is how to enjoy and what to enjoy or who to enjoy with. Without knowing Krishna, that inherent tendency to enjoy manifests as a sense of deficiency. As soon as we connect with Krishna, that sense of enjoyment feels its completeness. And in that completeness, the desires are then in that reciprocal relationship with him. And without that sense of presence of Krishna or connection with Krishna, the desires are only for oneself. That's how they think. And working with inert matter does not give us happiness. Especially for when we see its disconnection from Krishna. The definition of Maya is anything we don't see, its connection with Krishna is Maya. When I don't see how this is connected to Krishna, it's Maya. How when I don't see the trees and earth and air and water, how they're connected and sourced from Krishna, then I'm living a life of Maya because I don't see the connection. It seems disconnected. In the 7th chapter, when Krishna describes the 8 elements, he uses one very important word, bhinna. Prabhupada uses the word separated. Bhinna prakritir me ashtada. These 8 are separated energy of mine. Why are they separated? Why are they separated? They're not separated. They are Krishna's energy. He says, my prakriti, me, bhinna, prakritir, me, ashtada. These are mine. If they're his, then why are they separated? They are directly connected to Krishna.
They are separated because that word bhinna is from our perspective. We don't see the connection. We don't see the connection of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and ego with Krishna. The bhinna is because it's from our vantage point. Krishna uses in Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads also from our vantage point couple of things. For example, another is Keshagrashatabhagasya. The soul is described as 1/10,000 of size of the 1/10,000 of the tip of hair. The soul has dimension. Soul has dimension. Actually, soul doesn't have dimension. Dimensions are material. Inches, square, microns. These are material dimensions. So how does soul become materially measured? When you say 1/10,000, the tip of hair, you have given a material measurement to soul. There's no measurement. But it is now from our perspective to see the soul and say, oh, it's a very tiny fragment, oh, very, very sukshma. Basically that it's very subtle. This doesn't have size. But we overlay a size in it, right? Similarly, when Krishna says bhinna, the separatedness is from our perspective. And therefore he says dharyate jagat, we exploit it. It's called jiva, who exploits the resources that he finds them not owned by anyone, so he takes them for himself. And this is where he says, in that chapter itself, 7, Daivi hi esha gunamayi. It's the modes of nature that bind me to this world of 8 elements that I think are available for grabs. And therefore I get entangled. Here the word is used. Krishna is nirahankritam. One who's not entangled. Aham kritam. I am the one who does it. I am the one who enjoys it. Niraham kritam. Of course, in Krishna's case, he's the one who's actually desiring it, or he's the one who's actually enjoying everything because everything is his. Still, Krishna has a sense of detachment. And the person uses a joke to say he is quite detached that all of his money is sitting in our pockets. We're using his wealth. We're taking his earth, water, fire, air, ether and calling it ours. He's not protesting. He's detached. So anyway, I'll end with a joke of how Manu's lessons are for us. We remember the other day we were speaking that it's easier when it is spoken about someone else than if it's spoken directly to us. So there was a man walking on the street with a very, very nice dog. Let's say a German Shepherd or Doberman or something. Very nice dog. You know the phrase, Prabhupada says, if you want to compliment someone, you compliment their dog and suddenly the man becomes very happy. So as this man was walking down the road with his very nice dog, a man who's walking from the other side said, why are you walking with this ass? Man became very offended. You know, he's calling his beautiful dog an ass. Even if it's not a beautiful dog, if you have a chihuahua and you call him an ass, the owner gets very offended. What? What are you talking about? It's my chihuahua. So he said, why are you calling my dog an ass? And he became very upset. And the man said, I was not talking to you, I was talking to your dog. Because anything someone says, the first thing is to think, oh, they're talking, it's about them. You know? The lesson is not for them. Ass was not the dog, it's for him. Okay, any question, comment? It's important to analyze, so we appreciate.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for class. So we have this innate desire, and we also have, I guess, a void within us. So I guess in my limited ability to understand these things, it seems like, to me, like one would cause another.
Correct.
So which one causes the other?
It is desire which is innate to the soul when it is not directed towards the complete, that is Krishna, then wherever it's directed still leaves us with a sense of incompleteness or void. So the phrase that's used in Ishopanishad, if you remember, in the very invocation of Ishopanishad, where that wonderful verse Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate, Prabhupada writes, all forms of incompleteness due to a sense of he says that every living entity is complete in and of itself, everything that emanates is complete, and all forms of incompleteness are due to incomplete realization of the Absolute Truth. Thank you. It is therefore Krishna is called Purnam, that all sorts of whatever is felt as a void is completed by him. Whether it's money, happiness, relationship, parent, child, chivalry. Therefore the 12 rasas are given, because a person has enjoyment in any of the 12 rasas, 5 primary and 7 secondary. And unless one connects with Krishna, it doesn't matter what he has in this world, what kind of relationships, he may have other conjugal relationships, other parental relationships, fraternal, servitude, chivalry, humor, all that might be there, but it's incomplete. He feels incomplete. And we see practical examples of completeness. For example, let's say Parikshit Maharaj, right? When he is hearing Bhagavatam for 7 days, he's not thirsty, he's not hungry, he's not sleepy at all. In fact, he's completely energized that he's making Shukadev Goswami speak again and again. Tell me more. There's a phrase in the beginning of somewhere here in this 8th canto, I think it comes up, if I'm not wrong. 8th canto has Bali also in this, right? Bali Maharaj. So, somewhere in this canto, if I'm not wrong, or right at the beginning of 10th canto, I have to remember where that verse is, where Parikshit Maharaj says to Shukadev Goswami, I'm suffering. Imagine hearing for Bhagavatam class for 7 or 8 days or 7 days and saying, I'm suffering. And then he expresses his suffering. He says, I'm suffering because on the one hand, I'm not hungry, I'm not thirsty, I'm not sleepy. I feel so full and complete that I don't want anything else. Just hearing from you is wow. Yet, this thirst for hearing more is bothering me like anything. So I want more. That's the suffering. So Prabhupada says, uses the hot sugarcane juice. When you drink it, he says, so hot that you can't handle it, but it is so sweet that you cannot stop. That's the suffering Parikshit Maharaj is talking about. That he says, more, I want more. He's becoming restless. That's not sufficient. Okay, you spoke for 2 days and that's enough. No, I says, keep going. How much ever you say is not enough. Keep. This intense greed has come. Laulyam. In the spiritual sense. So he says, I'm hankering. You have left me hankering. Speak more. So in that sense, he's still incomplete, if you will. But the sense of completeness, because it's about Krishna. Anandam Budhivardhanam. The ocean of bliss is constantly increasing.
Thank you. So I guess talk about Pariksit Maharaj, you know, feeling incomplete, wanting to hear more. You know,
he's not feeling incomplete. Oh. It's just the desire to hear more, because Krishna is unlimited. So when he hears about the unlimited, naturally you can hear unlimitedly about the unlimited.
So he wants the nectar. We all want the nectar. So
we serve it on Sunday feast. Come back on Sunday. Yeah, go ahead.
So we perform material actions to, I guess, because we want the result of the action. So we could find ourselves performing spiritual actions, acts of bhakti, because we want the result of that. And while it seems like a good thing in Pariksit Maharaj's case, we read in the Madhurya Kadambini that attachment to the fruits of bhakti is something that is supposed to be overcome in the early stages of the spiritual path. So how are we to understand this?
Because bhakti, it's not just that the fruit of action is fulfilling, the action itself is fulfilling. Unlike someone who has to go to work, let's say, going to work is not enjoyable. Someone, right? It's not enjoyable. But the money that comes from it, that's enjoyable. But bhakti process is, if one understands, I'm actually working because it is my service to Krishna, then even the act of working is enjoyable. So Prabhupada asked, what is the fruit of chanting? And the answer was, more chanting. Oh! But it's the process and the goal are the same. The fruit of bhakti that Bhadudaya Kandamini speaks about are those that are there within the bhakti process, but we have a materialistic view of those goals. Labha, puja, pratishta, you know, profit, adoration and all that. We have a materialistic perspective of those things, because that's what people in the world are looking for. Those we should be careful of. But these will come anyway. So that profit, adoration, and whatever labha, puja and pratishta, fame, they're also used in Krishna's service. Prabhupada was famous, no doubt. He used this to expand Krishna's name everywhere. So it's the process that is itself enjoyable and is what is the goal as well. In the material world, process and goal are not the same. I go through college, I go through work, but I get something else, money. Some other fruit is what we're waiting for. Does that answer your question? Okay, thank you. Welcome back. Oh, Mataji has something.
Nityananda Prabhu, on this topic of that the sense of void leads to action in order to fulfill the void, and you know, explaining that the material action or working with the material energy doesn't bring fulfillment for the void, but rather that action being performed in connection to the complete whole fulfills the void. So I guess the question would be, does the sense of void move out of the way with constant awareness or deliberate consciousness that actions are being performed in connection with the complete whole? Or is it even that the occasional performance of action with some consciousness of its performance being in connection to the complete whole, eliminates a sense of void. I mean, is there a sense of void sometimes and a sense of completeness sometimes? That would
sure.
be the question.
It's the constant, and I'll give you the reference in the Bhagavatam. It says, Ahaituki apratihata. Ahaituki means not materially caused, and apratihata means unchecked, means not hampered. Devotional service, yena atma supraseedati, it's by which the soul is completely satisfied. So in a, I guess, a practical example, if I flip a switch on, the light bulb glows 100 watts, it's nice and bright. If I had to flip the switch off, the light's gone. So I can flip on and off, and as long as I'm flipping on and off, there's light that's on and off. But if I keep the switch flipped on, then the light is constant. Darkness doesn't come. If I flip it off, then there's darkness. So what we do, at least in the beginning stage, is because we're conditioned, we only contact Krishna, as in software they call it pinging. You contact Krishna, and then we disconnect. We contact and we disconnect. Contact. So when there is contactness, there is a sense of, ah. As soon as we disconnect, there is this, void. And so sadhana bhakti is the preparation for not only contacting, but learning how to keep it connected. And naturally, the longer the connection, the greater the fulfillment. And as soon as there is disconnection, it goes away. Another example is, if I'm turning towards the sun, there is light, constant light. As soon as I turn away from that sun, the first thing I see is the shadow. All I have to do is turn back. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar. And therefore Prabhupada says, as soon as there is disconnection from Krishna, it's not that there is a time lag, and after some time, Maya comes. Maya is right there. There's a phrase, Maya jhapatiya dhare. She grabs the person immediately. So darkness is the very instant situation as soon as one turns attention from Krishna. So we are used to something like darkness, light, darkness, light, darkness, 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 light, darkness, 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 light, darkness, light, darkness. And our Krishna consciousness is intermittent. We're more like Morse code with Krishna. Dit, da, dit, da, da. Single dies. So from Morse code, we want constant streaming. You know, T1 line is high streaming, large bandwidth. Very nice upload and download speeds. We want that kind of fiber optic connection. Instead of some Morse code connection with Krishna. Bits and bits and some light somewhere flickering in some dark room. It's a really tiny light. That's it's there. Whatever is there, that's great. Idea is to, Prabhupada said, there's a spark, and the Acharya fans the spark. Spark becomes a little flame. Flame becomes a fire. And it is to become an inferno. So yes, constant is our goal and aspiration and effort and praying for that constant connection. Page 35. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Challenge. Aruhya krucchena param patam patanti.
They are very, very high grandees.